Hey, Jacob 12 Podcast, thanks for checking us out this week. This week, I want to share my heart as a pastor. We're in a series called When You Pray, and this week, I want to just get to the heart of some really important things that I think are going to be really valuable for us in this season that we're all walking through. Thanks for checking us out. Well, hello, Jacob 12. Thanks for checking us out online this week. Hey, I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is actually the seventh week where we have not been able to gather here at our Jacob's Well campus. We've been scattered, but gathering virtually. And man, a lot has happened over the last couple months. So I just want to take a minute to ask and to encourage you to ask yourself and those around you, how are you doing? I don't know if you've considered this, but not everybody's having the same experience with this worldwide pandemic. Some people are talking about, man, I'm just bored. I wish I could do stuff. Other people are saying, bored? I have more to do with my job and changing business. Other people are overwhelmed with family. They may have some parents that they're caring for who they may or may not be able to visit. A lot of folks have kids at home now, and they're trying to figure out how to do the whole homeschooling thing. There are other people who are feeling deep anxiety for economic reasons, for financial reasons. You know, maybe they're laid off, or maybe they're a business leader, and they're responsible for a business, and many families who are part of that business, and maybe they're not able to do their business. There's just a lot of people going through a lot of different things. And one of the things that's going to be really important for us during this season is to notice, to monitor, to pay attention to the voices that we're listening to. Because right now there are two kinds of voices that we could be listening to that it really wouldn't be healthy to be listening to a lot of this. The one is the voice that will be telling you to be afraid. That it's about fear, it's about what you're going to lose, it's about what might happen, it's based on speculation. I don't know if you know this or not, but most of the things we worry about, just think about it, most of the things we worry about never actually happen. And so these voices of fear are coming at us. Now, there's another voice that is really common right now in our culture, and it really started getting loud this week, just from my perspective, and it's the voice that's telling you to be angry. The voice that's telling you that you're losing and you got to get going and this shouldn't have happened. And it comes with blame and it comes with accusation. And either one of those voices, if you're getting a steady diet of that and you're doubling down on that so that those thoughts outside of you start becoming your thoughts and those feelings other people are having are starting to become your feelings, well, you really need to scroll into the message this week because there's another voice we need to hear right now. And that's the voice of God. And that's what the series that we're in is all about. It is about hearing the voice of God through the love relationship we have, this thing called prayer. Now, in order to start, I kind of want to just share with you a little bit of my heart. It kind of comes back to just this honest truth. This honest truth that comes from my heart. So this is something that was really driven home deeply to me this week. At a conviction level, on a heart level, that as a pastor, I've come to believe that the single most important thing that I can teach people is to pray. And never has that been more true. I mean, it's always true, but never has that been more true than this season that we are in right now. Now here's the rub about that, and this is the other part of my heart. It's that getting people to pray in a healthy, life-giving, consistent way is actually the single hardest thing to get people to do. It's been my experience that you can mobilize people for action. You can get them to give. You can get them to do a task. You can even get them to like intellectually study the Bible easier than getting them to actually commit to prayer in a life-giving way, in a way that is healing, helpful, a prayer relationship, a foundation of their life. It just seems like that people will even, they'll study about prayer. They'll learn about prayer. They'll like on Facebook that, hey, I really think we should pray more. But actually learning how, disciplining themselves, and engaging in prayer is one of the hardest things that we have to do. That's why we're in this series right now. We're talking about when we pray, and that's why it begins with the Lord's Prayer. And so I just want to say the Lord's Prayer together as a community. So wherever you're at, you know, young and old, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, last week we started looking at this prayer that we grew up saying, and we discovered that this is a prayer that Jesus gave us. So when his disciples saw Jesus praying and they said, hey, teach us how to pray, this is him teaching them and us how to pray. It also should stun us, just be a stunning reality, that people have been praying this prayer from the beginning. Think about the billions of times, maybe more than that, hundreds of billions of times, that this prayer has been whispered. Think about the places that this prayer has been prayed. It's been prayed in foxholes, in emergency rooms, in churches, in good times and in bad times. It's been prayed out of gratitude. It's been prayed, you know, out of fear. It's been prayed when things are going great and things are going difficult. This prayer is powerful, and it has this potential to unite us. We looked last week at the beginning, and we saw that this is a prayer that directs us towards a relationship, that at the heart of everything else, what prayer is a relationship with our Father. It is an invitation to be in his presence, to spend time with him, to know him. And sometimes that looks like scripture. Sometimes that looks like singing. Sometimes that looks like words. Sometimes that looks like just stillness and being in his presence. But the deeper you can get into prayer, the deeper you are actually not, it's not that you're getting into a deep religious ritual. It's that you are getting into a deeper relationship with the Father. That's why I say the most important thing we can teach people to do as pastors is to pray. And so it's a relation with the Father who's in heaven. His name is holy, special, important. We want to lift up his name. We want to honor his name. It's all about his kingdom. And we want his kingdom and his will to come on earth, even as heaven. Now, even as it is in heaven. Now, this week what I want to do is I want to just really focus in on one line of the Lord's Prayer. And it's a line that it becomes very easy for us to overlook. But with where we're at as a people, as a culture, as a world, it may be the most important line in the Lord's Prayer right now for where we're at. And it's this very simple line. So this is the whole message. Give us this day our daily bread. So it's a call for us to recognize that God is the source of our daily needs. Now, a couple things I would just point out is that it's really important for us to remember that when Jesus taught this prayer, people were actually concerned about their daily bread. And actually, there's still a large part of the world today that will wake up today and wonder, where am I going to get my bread? Where am I going to get my food? Where am I going to get the things I need? And they live day to day. And so in Jesus' time, this prayer was like way more relevant than sometimes we think it is. But the question I want us to ask is this. When you wake up in the morning, where do you look for the things you need? I mean, think about that deeply. Where do you look? And here's the source of this prayer. Do you really believe that God is the source of the things you need? Do you really believe it? Do you believe, another question, that God is trustworthy to provide the things you need today? And let me ask you this question. Do your actions indicate that you trust God to provide the things you need today? Or are you looking to something else? And just one more question. Is your prayer life an indication that you believe that God is the source of what you need? Because here's just the honest truth. If you're not praying, if you're not asking God, if you're not going to God, then actually you probably don't believe that God is the source of the things that you need. We may be looking to other things. And listen, literally he's talking about daily bread. So we look to God for our provision for food and shelter and all that. But this applies even deeper. The daily bread you may be needing to get from God is emotional support. It may be mental support. It may be relational support. It may be problem-solving support. It may be just this understanding that what I need daily comes from God. Now, what's important about that is that when we really believe that, when that really is our core conviction, we will live this world with so much more freedom, so much more confidence, so much more peace when we understand that. That's why when we pray this prayer, so many times I'll pray this prayer and I'll slow down, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and I'll think to myself as I'm praying this, and I'll let the Spirit speak to me, what is the lack that I feel today? What is the thing I feel like today? Now, very rarely do I need to worry about bread or food. I'm just in a place and a part of the world where I don't worry about that, but maybe you do worry about that. Maybe God, the daily bread I need is, how am I going to pay that bill? Where are we going to live? How are we going to be able to afford college or some other thing? And then we immediately, when we ask those questions, some of you just want to ask some of those questions, you got triggered with some anxiety because you're thinking, oh no, I've got to provide that daily bread. But what if we took this prayer to heart and we said, no, God is the source of my daily bread. Now, some of you may be thinking, the daily bread I need is I need healing in the relationship with person X or my spouse or this kind of thing, or I'm going to need a job, or I'm going to need some joy, or I'm going to need some hope. When we believe that God is the source of that, it changes how we look at things. It changes our hope, our expectation, and here's the other thing. It changes how serious we are about prayer. Now, let me ask you an important question just for you to get to. Just this is a core question. Where do you look for your daily bread? I mean, when you need something, when you got a crisis, I mean, where do you start? You know, now, where is the beginning place when you recognize, man, I have a need, I have a lack, I have a longing, whether it be physical, spiritual, intellectual, is your thought that I have to rely on myself or another person, or do I fundamentally believe, even though God provides them through other things, that ultimately what I need in a daily way comes from God? Now, the other thing that's important about this is we're talking about daily bread. Because very often, what causes us so much anxiety is we start worrying about the bread we're going to need 2 weeks from now or 2 months from now. And particularly at this season where we're at, listen, none of us actually knows what's going to be going on in 2 weeks or 4 weeks. And anybody who tells you they know or they have the prediction, everybody's speculating, we just don't know. And so what we have is today. That's what makes this prayer so powerful. And here's just something maybe you've never realized. Even though it's very painfully obvious that what we have today is today, that is the way it's always been. Because even before, when you had plans and you had it figured out how things were going to be, you didn't have any guarantees. You didn't know. Things change. And so this prayer teaches us to live in the provision and the contentment of today. It also helps you to create thanksgiving. Because some days when we don't have much understanding what's coming 2, 3, 4 weeks, days, months, whatever, and we come back and say, God, you gave me what I need today. Thank you for that. And because you've been faithful in giving me what I need today, well, I'm just going to trust you with tomorrow. And it trades anxiety for peace. It trades the desire to control future outcomes for contentment and letting God be the one who's ultimately in control. This phrase in the Lord's Prayer is stunningly important. Give us this day our daily bread. So where do you look for your daily bread? Now, three places where I think right now we would be very tempted to look for our daily bread. And something we can do as part of prayer to protect us from looking to these sources for our daily bread, something we can do to protect us from investing in these false places that provide our daily bread. Now, the first place we could tend to look is in our material wealth. Now, this is a big deal for us as Americans. We're used to having a lot. We're used to having margins. And right now, we feel very threatened in our material wealth. And some of us, because we are afraid that we're going to lose our material wealth because that's what we trust in and that's what we look at for our daily bread. And because we're afraid we're losing it, we're starting to get really angry. And because we're getting angry, we're maybe embracing despair or blame or are we wanting to act in some way. And so the temptation is for us to invest in this thing of trusting in what I have in the bank account, what I can provide for myself, material wealth as that which provides our daily bread. Now, the answer to this, as crazy as this sounds right now, and you have to hear me because this is going to be a point that really hits for some folks, and other folks maybe, this is just maybe not where you're at, but hear me this. The answer is actually generosity. Now this hit me like a ton of bricks. So I was actually in prayer, and I was actually thinking about this message and praying over this message and thinking about where we were. And it was a day over the last week or so where my wife called me and said, we got our checks. We got our government checks that were sent to us. And we said, well, that's great. And we said, well, what should we do? And I said, well, why don't we just throw it in the emergency fund and we'll put it because cash is king and we'll have that. And our emergency fund was already in a pretty good place because we're in a pretty good place. And we made some plans and contingencies and woo, isn't it great? And there's this kind of wonderful feeling that, man, we've just got some protections. Well, here's what God began to say to me. And again, you may have gotten your government check and you may be saying, that was not emergency fund money. That was not extra money. We were not talking about what we could buy. That for us is rent and food. And honestly, I'm not sure what we're going to do next week. And so for some people, if you're in that boat, you maybe just need to turn off your ears and just, you know, not listen to this next part. Talk amongst yourselves or something like that. But for some of us others who maybe haven't lost our job, who have some good margin, who God has blessed in unexpected ways, maybe you should listen. Because what God said to me is, Paul, what I'd actually like you to do with that is I'd actually like you to look around at some other people who aren't doing as well as you are, and I want you to use some of that to bless some other people. I actually want you to embrace as a spiritual practice some quiet, anonymous generosity where we're going to take some of that and we're going to look and we're going to pray. And I asked my kids, you know, and my wife, who are some people that we know who may need some help? We identified some family. We identified some friends. We identified some people in the church, some single parents, things like that, who we're going to share that. Now, I don't share that to buff myself up. I share that to share this, is that there's an opportunity for us to say, wow, God, you've blessed us so much, we want to bless others. Now, hear me carefully. I'm not talking about giving this money to the church. You know, obviously, we're asking people who are working in a good place to keep giving their tithes and offerings, and we're just trusting God. God has blessed our church. We're in a good place. What I'm talking about is individual Christians, not for a tax receipt, not to get any kind of credit, not to leverage anything, but individual Christians should just say, you know, we were just given this unexpected thing. We were going to buy this thing we weren't planning on buying, or we were going to put it in savings or whatever. And instead, we're going to take part of that, and we're going to just anonymously, quietly meet some needs of maybe some people who have lost their jobs, or people who have extra needs because of children, or because life has thrown a curve to them. And what that does is that puts us in a place of prayer of saying, God, I'm no longer thinking of myself. I'm praying about who I can bless. And I'm no longer concerned about my needs. I'm concerned about someone else's needs. And the other thing that it does is it brings us to a point where it recenters ourselves on our daily bread. Because I remember thinking to myself, as I was thinking about this very message, I remember thinking to myself, man, it'd be just great to have that emergency fund bigger just in case. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know. I might need that money to provide my daily bread down the road. And immediately as I recognized I was thinking like that, God just convicted me. And he said, Paul, am I your source of daily bread? Or is something else the source of your daily bread? And so there's an opportunity. If you're recognizing that, you know what, you've got a lot of stress in your life because material wealth is what you're actually trusting in, there's an opportunity for you to bless just anonymously, you know, not through the church or anything like that, just someone who needs a blessing. Maybe not all what you've been given extra, but maybe part of it then becomes. What would happen if 100 of the people who are part of our church could do that? So there's 100 acts of godliness. And maybe when you gave the gift, you just put in a card with a Bible verse and maybe an invitation to check out church online. And people who have been wondering if where the church is begin to see where the church is, and it just becomes this wonderful, powerful, outpouring, beautiful thing that God is doing. I should say, and I want to let you know this too, church, is as your church, we've actually been seeking to step up and to help some smaller churches in the area with a lot of their video production and other stuff like that. In addition, this week and into next week, we've been actually sending some extra support to several of our share partners who we know may be going through a very difficult time because a lot of their support base has maybe dried up and people aren't able to support as they have in the past. And so we want to double down in being part of the solution, trusting that even as a church, God is going to provide our daily bread. The thing that I found about this is that when we get serious about this thing of generosity, this thing is that there's a joy that you discover in generosity. There's a happiness, and it pushes you back to saying, okay, God, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in you to provide our daily bread. Now the second place we can start looking for our daily bread is in political powers. Now hear me closely here, because I'm not saying that political powers are evil or bad. Quite the contrary. I'm very, very grateful that we live in a part of the world with a functional government, a hardworking government, and I believe that the people who are our leaders right now, left and right of the aisle, are good people who are fundamentally trying to do the right things. But the temptation for us is to rely on them and for them to do things as we would want them to do. And this is where a lot of the anger is coming in. Listen, some of us are getting really angry. Maybe we're angry because we feel like the government's not doing enough to protect us and limit what people are doing. Others maybe because the government's doing too much and they're stealing our liberties. Listen, check that anger with prayer. Okay? Now, I'm not telling you not to have an opinion. I'm not even telling you not to be, I'm certainly not telling you not to be informed, but I'm asking you this. Have you taken time to consider what your responsibility is for our leaders right now? Because it is a ridiculously difficult time for us to be leading right now. It's a difficult time for people to be in charge. You know where this was really driven home for me? It was driven home for me just the other day when I was watching the news conference from our local health department. And we have a director of public health, Liska Geezy. And I don't really know Liska, other I've talked to her on the phone when this whole thing started and asked some advice. But I was watching and she was giving this report about where things are at, and it occurred to me that every day this leader has to stand up and tell the community things they don't want to know about restrictions, about people who are sick, about people who have died, about things that we can do and we can't do. And maybe most frustrating for everybody and even for her is that she can't tell us when things are going to change. And she has been doing it day after day with calmness and clarity and coolness. Now what struck me about it is because I was watching this on social media, is that I looked down below and I saw all the comments that were coming. And there were some of the cruelest and most insensitive things, people calling her a Nazi and a terrorist and accusing her of all kinds of terrible things. And again, this isn't about left or right. This is about this understanding. That we as Christians believe that the people who are in authority over us by government, God has put in those positions. And so to disgrace and to rebel against and to not support them is speaking against the authority that God has put in our community. And so we got to check that in. And the other thing is I just wondered what's going on in her life. I wonder how hard she's working. Wonder if she's got a family. I wonder if her spouse or her kids or her mom or dad are seeing those comments. I wonder if she's ever afraid. And you know what I was reminded of? I was reminded of the one biblical command that's clearer than any other biblical command about political powers, is that's to pray. And I began to pray for her. And now, I have been, of course, when I see President Trump, I pray for him. When I see Governor Evers, I pray for him. I pray for them because these are the people that God has put in charge at this season. And we want them to succeed. And so our responsibility is to pray for them and to pray for their prosperity. And what that has allowed me to do is take a step back and realize, wow, that so much of my criticism, so much of what I was getting amped up about was about fear, that expressing itself in anger. And listen, I understand we need to be engaged, political discourse, we can even disagree, but before we allow ourselves to be afraid and anger and respond over that, let's take a step back and let's pray. Because the answer when we look to political powers for our daily bread is to come back and pray for those in authority, that God would bless them and give them wisdom in alignment with his kingdom. The second thing is to understand that we're called to serve others above ourselves. And so very often when our officials need to restrict some of our rights, and they are our rights, and we will get them back, it's going to be okay. We have a responsibility to say, okay, in service for the well-being of others and even for the peace of others, we're going to trust our leaders. And we're going to serve others above ourselves. This is a season, and there are ways and means for us to get back on track, and we will get on track. But make sure that many of your responses are not born out of fear and anger, but through prayer. And if you haven't prayed about it, man, don't say it. If you haven't prayed about it, don't post it. If you haven't prayed for the person who you're criticizing in your post, don't post it. Get your heart right and at peace with God as your source of daily bread, and that can realign us in the most wonderful way. Third thing we can see where we get our daily bread is through our best efforts. And this is just good old-fashioned fear and anger that express, I got to work harder, I got to make a plan, I got to get control of this, I got to do. And some of us, the biggest challenge we have right now is there's nothing to do. There's nothing for us to fix. And so what we're feeling is this, I just want to take control of this thing, and I don't have control of this thing. And that's just filling us with anxiety. When we think that we've got to provide our own daily bread, we've got to be the solutions to our problems, we find ourselves running and doing a lot of chasing after the wind, a lot of emptiness. The answer as a spiritual principle is daily Sabbath and prayer. That is to say, daily rest prayer. The word Sabbath means to rest in God. And so that the challenge is for us to create environments of prayer and rest that we would become part of in this season. So let me give you some next steps. So church, we have created all kinds of tools for you to be able to learn how to pray, to engage in prayer, to participate in prayer. And if you haven't started using these, start using these. If you're starting to recognize, man, I am being driven by anger and fear right now. I am just investing myself in so much busyness, and you're recognizing that I haven't taken prayer seriously at all. Well, then this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to get back on track. We create all kinds of tools for you. So one of them is the How to Pray podcast. This is a podcast that teaches us, beginning to teach us how to actually pray. It's an incredible conversation, incredible tool. It's coming out this week. We also have our prayer podcast. Now, these are a little different. These are actually podcasts that lead you in prayer. So if you don't have hardly any experience in prayer, you can just download these, listen to these. So many people have said, man, I really have not been a person of prayer, but every night I've been listening to the evening one. It's been incredibly comforting. It's been centering to start my day in the morning prayer, or my life is crazy right now. So having that midday prayer has been very powerful. And so you could download those podcasts, go to our website and listen to them, or you can download them on whatever you know, platform you use to do podcasts. In addition, if you needed prayer this moment and you're on our live platform right now, you could go right down here to this button on the bottom there. It's probably right down there somewhere. It says live prayer. And you click on that and someone would meet you in a private chat room and you could pray. They would pray for you. We could talk about it if you're overwhelmed with anger or with fear. There's an opportunity for you right now to not leave this time without connecting someone if you need prayer. In addition, we have our virtual prayer rooms on Zoom, and this is an opportunity for people who are just more comfortable gathering and just praying whatever's on their heart. This is a great opportunity. You can go to our website and again, find out more about how you can be part of those virtual prayer experiences. In addition to that, we've got a Devo, the Devo that you can download. Go to our website, and where our messages are listed, you can find the devotion. And this is a devotion where I believe there are five or six different ways to pray that you can learn, because different people find meaning in different kinds of prayer. One, by the way, that I don't have listed here, but it's important, is midweek worship. When we worship, the songs we sing are prayers to God. And so you may just want to listen to the midweek worship as that's published, and that just brings you back to God. Your groups, we got some new groups starting, but as well as your groups are getting together in different Zoom platforms and different ways of gathering together, make sure you're taking time to pray. I know it can feel a little awkward at first, but it can be deep and profound even as we're not gathered, for our hearts to be united through prayer. And so there's all kinds of opportunities for you to pray. Now, I want to end our time together by praying as a community. Now, I'm going to begin with the Apostles' Creed. This is the great statement of belief about what we believe, and it's meant to unite us. And so let's begin our prayer with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy united church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Father, and it's on those beliefs that we stand. And at the heart of that is that we believe in you, God the Father Almighty, as the source of our daily bread. Forgive us for those times that we trust in other things outside of ourselves or even ourselves to provide for ourselves. We stop right now. And we ask you, Father, to just be the source of our daily needs. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to not only agree with prayer, be inspired with the idea of prayer, but to actually pray. Teach us to pray, Father. And we lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us this week. Thanks for being here with us this week, church.